Let's ask the Lord to help us. Dear Lord, you are here in our midst, Lord. You're here with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us, Lord. And Lord, we just want to have more of your presence with us, Lord. I mean, I know you're with us, Lord, but we want to be able to sense it. We want to be able to sense you. We want to be able to know that, as the song said, to know that you are God in the real sense, in an everyday sense, in an every moment sense. And we can get churned up with a lot of things, Lord. We got election coming up, and a lot of people are churned up, Lord. We get churned up with things that are going on at work, and churned up with things that are going on in our homes. And Lord, you say, be still and know that I am God. And we want to be still, Lord, and help us to be still and know that you are God. Speak to us tonight, Lord, by your Spirit, and help us to know that you are God. Help us to see that you are God. Help us to hear that you are God. Because without you, Lord, we're nothing. Without you, we're lost. Without you, we'll be in confusion and just generally all messed up, Lord. So we need you, and we need you now. We need to know you. We need to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. John 17:3, please. To know God. To know God. I believe that's what the Lord has laid on my heart for tonight, is to know God. And actually for him to know us. John 17:3. Jesus is praying to the Father with the disciples there, and he's saying, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, speaking of the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We all want eternal life. We need eternal life. God is wanting to give us eternal life. But here he says, eternal life is knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus Christ, but also the Father. And Jesus Christ came to this world, came onto this earth, came by the command of the Father to do what? To reconcile us to the Father. And Jesus is saying, eternal life is knowing him, the Father, and Jesus Christ. And that know, of course, in today's world is, you know means like knowledge, you know, to know about someone. Oh, I want to know such and such, or I want to know about this, or I want to know about that group or this person or whatever. And we're talking about, generally, we're talking about knowing about them, get some information on them. We want information. But this know in here, and our Greek scholar can back us up here, but the word know in there doesn't mean just about, just getting necessarily information, if I'm understanding that correctly. It's an intimate knowing. It's the same know, if I'm not mistaken, that means Adam knew Eve, in the sense of Adam was intimately involved with Eve. Adam had sexual relations with Eve. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that God is wanting to have sexual relations, and I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but that's for anybody else that might be listening. But it does mean intimacy. It does mean close intimacy, to know. And Jesus is saying here, to know. And I believe the Lord is saying that he is drawing near. He is on the move. He is coming closer to us. And he wants to us to know him. And we know that, and we understand that, and in a sense that, you know, that's what we've been told. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, soul, and strength. To know the Lord, know God. But he wants us to know him intimately. Intimately. You know, lovers, or those of you that are married or been married, or that sweetheart, I mean, you wanted to know them, right? I mean, you didn't just want to know a little bit about them, you know. That's so-and-so, her father's this, and he's got, you know, a couple sisters or whatever, and they work this job, and oh, you know. You didn't want to just know that. You wanted to know them, didn't you? You wanted to know what they liked and how they felt about things and what made them happy and all. You wanted to know their inner being, who they were. That's what you wanted to know, right? Right? Okay, I'm getting some head shaking here. I was getting scared here for a minute, but. Yeah, you wanted to know more than just about them. Oh, yeah, that's a girl, that's a band, that's a, you know, you wanted to know. And when you talk about lovers, and I'm not talking about the modern connotation of lovers who are talking about, you know, being sexually intimate, you know, before marriage and all that. I'm talking about in the sense of when they use, back in the Victorian time, when lovers meant just some people who are interested in each other, interested in marrying, interested in being married, that kind of thing, where they wanted to know one another. And you know, the lovers, where was their focus? Was their focus on, you know, the guy down the street, or what the weather was for the day, or was it on, ooh, my sweetheart, oh, my beloved. Oh, I wonder what he's doing right now. Oh, I wonder what she's doing right now. Oh, I just can't wait till we get together and go here. Oh, I can't. Isn't that kind of how it was? I said, well, it's, hopefully it's still some of that there. But it's like, huh? What's that? You're trying to recall? Okay, Biddy. All right. I don't want to put you on the spot. But but there was that. Where was your focus? Your focus was on that person, right? That you were in love with. That person that crazy about him. And that was your focus. And then you like talking with them. You like them being with you. You like being together and just talking. Just talking. Oh, I mean, you talk for hours. For hours. And it seems like a few minutes, you know? And it's, oh, you know, just your whole being is just alive with that person, right? Lovers. And, you know, that's what God wants with us. That's what Jesus wants with us. You know, what's the scripture say? You know, he's the Father's making a bride for him, right? A bride, okay? A bride would indicate that, hey, maybe there's some love relationship here, you know, or one that's desired anyway. The Song of Songs, you know, gives a very good, analogy of Jesus Christ wooing his bride, wooing his beloved, his lover, wooing. Here is the lover that's saying, I'm just, to put it in the Southern vernacular, I'm just ate up with you. I'm just ate up with you. And of course, some of the analogies that they use to describe one another, we probably wouldn't use in today's language. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily tell your sweetheart, you know, your teeth are like, you know, sheep or something like that. But in that context, they knew what that meant. That was something that was said. But you get the idea. I mean, they were just infatuated, if you will, with one another. And Jesus is our lover. Jesus is our lover. He is drawing near to us. And he wants us to know it. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to sense it and feel it. It's just not something we read about in the Bible. It's not just something we hear about, you know, and say, oh yeah, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, that's nice. It doesn't quite have the same ring as the lover who is infatuated with and always wants to be around and is ate up with their beloved. God wants us to know that He loves us. He wants us to know Him in an intimate way. And how do we get to know someone like that? How did you get to know that person that you were in love with, that person that you ended up marrying, that person? How did you get to know them? Did you, did you text them? Well, probably back then we didn't have texting, but I'm not saying you guys are old. I'm sorry. But they probably didn't have texting. But you didn't call them and say, oh, by the way, Sharon, I love you and I want to marry you. And I'll talk to you later. Click. And then you just assume things were just going to, she was going to take that and just run with it, right? And so 2 weeks later when you call her and say, how are you, Sharon, my beloved? I love you. I love you. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Click. Probably after about the second time or third time, she'd probably say, wait a minute. I don't think he loves me. Or he's playing a game here or something. He only talks to me about 2 seconds on the phone every 2 weeks. No. You'd probably be burning that phone up every minute that you could. And you'd probably be wanting to be where she is and she wanting to be where you are and so forth and so on. So you got to know each other by spending time with one another, right? By, hey, what do you like? Oh, you like this? Oh, I see this makes you happy. Oh, wow. What do you think about this? Well, yeah. And you talk and you spend time with one another and you're not just kind of like walking side by side, she's over here and you're there and you're just straight ahead, eyes straight ahead, and you're just walking, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that looks nice. Oh, yeah, that looks nice. Aren't you kind of looking at each other and saying, that makes her happy. Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes him happy. Yeah. Yeah, that I think, or vice versa. Oh, I don't think she likes this one. So I won't do that one or whatever. You're studying them. You're looking at them. You're trying to figure them out. You're trying to see what's going to make them happy. What's going to please them. What's going to make my beloved happy. How do I get to know? Oh, I didn't know that about them. Oh, that's nice. I wonder about this or I wonder about that. Or you ask your friends, what is he like? What's she like? Does she like this? Would this be okay? You're trying to find out information. Not just information, but you want to know them. That's what lovers do. That's what lovers do. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us. I wonder what he likes. I wonder what she likes. I wonder what Sir Benny likes. Yeah, I think he would like that. That would please him. Yeah. I wonder what he would like. And he's going to Lloyd and saying, wow, Lloyd, I'd like to spend some time with you. I really, really like you. And I want to spend some time with you. Can we do that? And unfortunately, in my state of being, in my sinful nature, in my Adam, a lot of times I don't even hear that. Don't even hear it. I don't even hear it. I don't even hear it. And then when I get a glimpse of it, when I get a bit of it, like when Stan, many, many months ago, played that Misty Edwards song, I Know What I Was Getting Into when I Chose You, I got to the part where I could at least say, Lord, I don't know that. I don't know that about you. I don't know that you like me. Can you help me figure that out? Can you help me figure that and know and sense that you like me? And he's been answering that prayer. He really has. He has been answering that prayer. And I have to admit, though, I am so tied up with Lloyd and with the world and the things that I've learned. It's still that, partly I don't hear it. Partly I'm like, I don't believe it. Particularly when I mess up, I default right back to, oh, God's mad at me and he's going to get me and he's got a big stick waiting for me, and I got to jump through all these hoops before I can get back in His good graces, and you know, all that litany that I go through. And yet God is saying, I love you. Not just I love you in a sense that I take care of you, I provide for you, I provide for all your needs. I love you in a sense I want to be near you. I want to be near you. And it's hard to believe that. In my own life, it's hard to believe that. But God has been showing me little bit by little bit by little bit that He does love me, that He does like me, that He does want to be with me. And then, and when I mess up and I stumble and I come to Him, He's not waiting, you know, with a big stick to smack me. But He's saying, come, come, honey. Come, my beloved. Let's get this right. I love you. I like you. I want you near me. Come on. And it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear. Because we have been so grown up in the worldly ways, the worldly wisdom, our experiences in terms of people that loved us. And we put that same thing on God. And I believe Jesus is saying, look, we got to get past that. Because eternal life is knowing me. Eternal life. You want eternal life? You got to know me. And not just know about me. Because there were some people that knew about God. And Jesus gave a very good example of it. In Matthew 7, verse 22. They knew enough about God that they prophesied in His name. And they cast out demons. And they performed a whole lot of miracles in the name of Jesus. And you would think, wow, they got to know God. They got to know God. But God said something to them in 23. He said, no, let's read 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This brings another dynamic into it. Jesus is saying, I need to know you. Wait a minute. Jesus, you should know everything about me. You should know my faults, my whatever. You should know everything about me. And He does, in a sense, in that sense. But that's not the knowing He's talking about. That's not the knowing He's talking about. He said, I never knew you. In other words, I never spent time with you. I never just sat with you and talked where you talk with me, where you just, you know, just hung out with me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Yeah, they were doing great things for God. Great things. I mean, they probably had great ministries. They probably were, I mean, people were probably getting saved and everything else that God was doing through them. But Jesus said, I did not know you. I don't know who you are. It would be like picking up a tool, you know, and saying, oh, yeah, I know everything about this tool. It's this long. It's that weighs this much. Blah, blah, I can do this with it. Boom, boom, you know, but I don't know it. Be like the same thing with those folks that were prophesying and doing their miracles. God did not have an intimate relationship with them. And that's what the God of the universe wants with us. It's an intimate relationship. You know, marriage talks about in marriage that the man and woman will leave their father and cleave to one another and become one. Okay. I think, yes, Stan, you mentioned this earlier, that, I mean, obviously that can't happen physically. To some extent it happens depending on the relationship with each one, happens, you know, in a emotional, spiritual sense in that regard. But it's a crude example of what God wants for Him and you and me. He wants a oneness. A oneness. A oneness. He and the Father are one. They evidently have a very intimate relationship. It was like, if I can use this analogy, maybe to describe it, it's I forget his name now. Jesse Duplantis, yeah. He's got a deal out some years ago about having been brought up into the spirit realm and at the throne of God. And he said that what he saw in terms of he didn't see Father God. He said all he could see was down by his feet. He said he couldn't get his eyes up any higher than that because he couldn't see the Father. But he said, all of a sudden, he says, out of the Father came Jesus. And he said, you literally could see, if you will, the connection between them. The if you want to call it magnetism or whatever, you could see the love between them. It was just like back and forth. And it was like Jesus was like, his only purpose on life was the Father. That's how much love and intimacy they had together. And he said you could literally see it in that sense, in terms of that attraction for one another. And it was like Jesus was coming out of the Father, going back into the Father, coming out of the Father, you know, in that sense. They were two distinct beings, but they were one. They had that much love for one another. That's what Jesus is looking for between himself and you and me. That kind of love. His bride. Song of Solomon gives us a glimpse of how excited he is for his bride. It also gives a glimpse of how somewhat excited we are for him. And we are. But we have issues. And can we go to Song of Songs chapter 5, verse 2, please, Bill? We have issues. We already know. We've got our sinful nature and things that we deal with. And here's our beloved. He's you know, we're, you know, we love him. He loves us. And then we get to this part of our life where I slept. And if you remember talking about the virgins sleeping, I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my lover is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. Now, this is interesting because he calls her his sister. His sister. This is his beloved. This is his future bride. This is his future wife. And he calls her his sister. And that says a lot to me in a sense that God, I mean, you know, you think, oh, the marry my sister, eh. But in the sense of what he's saying of my sister, in other words, I have respect for you. You're not just some object to me. You're not just some thing to me. You're my sister as well. You're my sister. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. I have taken off my robe. Now, this is the woman, the Shulamite woman. I have taken off my robe. I must put it on. Must I put it on again? I've washed my feet. Must I soil them again? My lover thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. I rose to open for my lover, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My fingers were flowing myrrh. And the handle on the handles of the lock. I opened for my lover, but my lover had left. He was gone. My heart sank with his departure. I looked for him and did not find him. I called him but did not answer. And in our sinful nature, in our things that have us bound in terms of the wisdom of the world, how we've experienced and things that were our coping mechanisms, a lot of times we do that. It's not because we want to, but we're sleeping and we don't want to get up. We don't want to be bothered. We're comfortable where we are, and Jesus is wooing us and say, come, spend some time with me. And we don't. And we say, oh, do I have to? And then when we finally do, okay, Lord, it seems like he's gone. It seems like he's not there. I can't make the connection. I can't make the connection. That's the reality of who we are and what God is. And God knows that. He's, you know, the lover did, you know, later on, the lover is still madly in love with the Shulamite woman. It's not He hasn't lost any love for her. But it's a good analogy in terms of how things happen with us. And what I think God is wanting to say is that, you know, he says, I want to know you. I want you to know me intimately. And we can come away with this, and it's probably even been preached this way and said this way and written this way. It's like, you can know God. You'll know God. And after this lesson, boom, you're there. After this sermon, boom, you're there. And we even think it ourselves. And then reality hits. We're sleeping. We're comfortable. And he's saying, come, come. And he's saying, I don't want to put my robe back on. I don't want to get up. I'm comfortable. And then when it finally do, he's gone. And however we experience that in the ways that God allows us, we wonder, wait a minute, does he really love me? How come he's gone? Does it, you know, we don't think about ourselves, but how come he's gone? How come he left? How come I don't feel it? How come I don't know that he likes me? How come I don't sense that he likes me and sense that he loves me? And God is saying, hey, I do. And we're going to get through. We're going to push through all these things of the world, all these things that you've experienced and put you in bondage and put you in a way that you can't hear when I say I like you. And you can't sense when I'm next to you saying, hey, let's just spend some time talking together. And the Lord's saying, I like you. And I know you're going to stumble. And I know you're going to fall. And I know you're going to not hear me. And I know you're not going to believe me. But just the same, I love you. I like you. I want to be with you. And there's an old Larnell Harris song back in the 80s. Says, Jesus says, I miss my time with you. He does. He misses his time with each one of us. And the goal that God is looking for, you know, he says he's building a house, right? He's building a house. He's building living stones that are going to be part of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, that is going to be the house for the Father, as well as Jesus himself. And in John 14, it talks about if you keep my words, keep my commands, we, meaning the Father and myself, will come and make our home in you, in us. Christ is being formed in us. Talking about love, I mean, every time that we, and we're going to do communion tonight, every time that we take communion, we're symbolizing eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And in the real sense, in the real sense, in the spirit realm, every time we're obeying and worshiping and fellowshipping with Jesus, he is feeding us more of his flesh, more of his body. He's literally feeding us of himself. Now, he can't get more than, you know, more oneness than that. And that's what, when it says we want Christ formed in you, Christ formed in you, that's Jesus feeding us his body and his blood. And when he comes back and he says, I'm raising you up, guess what he's raising up? He's basically calling back to himself his life that he put in you through the feeding of his flesh and his blood. That's oneness. That's oneness. And it's a oneness that says that, like in, was it Revelation 14, the 144,000 that are with him, with Jesus, they follow him wherever he goes. They are undefiled. And basically, they're with Jesus wherever he goes. That's an analogy of us being, having Christ formed in us, that we're one, that no longer are we independent of, just like a husband and wife, in a sense, are not independent of each other. They live together, they do things together, there's somebody else to think about, if you will. Somebody else to be concerned about, somebody else to relate in your sphere of influence, if you will. And that's the same with Jesus, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, is saying, I want you to be with me, not just with me. I want you to be one with me so that wherever I go, you're there. I can't go anywhere without you being there for eternity. 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 I like you. I want to be with you. I believe the Lord is saying, yes, I'm here in your midst. My word says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. But I think the Lord is saying to each one of us right now, I want more than that. I want to know you. I want to be one with you. I want to be with you. Like a lover. In a sense of being close, being having our attention on each other, if you will. Being that one and only, if you will. When you were with your future spouse, or you know, that was your one and only. I mean, nobody else was in the picture. That was it. That's what Jesus wants for each of us. For us, for him, obviously, but him for us as well. It's a two-way street. You know, what's the good of having a bride if you don't, you know, yeah, okay, I got a bride, you know. But where he is like, yes, this is my bride. I want to spend time with her. I want to spend time with him. I want to be with him all the time. And that's where God is bringing us. That's where he's bringing us. He's bringing us to this intimacy with him. We've got to have it. If we don't have it, we may be like the folks in Matthew 7. Oh, I did all this stuff, God. I mean, whew, did a bang-up job. Man, miracles, this, people got saved, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And he looks at you and says, I don't know you.
Then he adds an evildoer.
Yes, he does add the evildoers. I was trying to be nice. I didn't want to put that one in there. But yeah, he wants us so bad, so bad. And we can't hear it. But starting tonight, he wants us to hear it. He wants us to feel it. He wants us to know him intimately. And yes, there's a lot of things that keep us from that. And Jesus knows it. And all the things that he's doing in our lives, the things he's bringing up, the problems, the issues, all the stuff that gets stirred up, is so that he can deal with the things, we can deal with the things, he can deal with the things in us that are hindering that relationship, that one-on-one, that oneness, that knowing that he wants to have with us. Not only with us, but for the Father as well. Just like I described from Jesse Duplantis, what he saw in that vision he had, that's the kind of oneness God wants with us, where it's visible in that sense, where you will sense it. Is God here? Yeah, there's no question God's here. God's with me. I'm in him. That's where we want to be. And Lord, what was the thing you were gonna? Oh yeah. And it goes to that vision that God gave me. Again, not a vision, but just in my mind when I read in John 1 about Jesus being in the bosom of the Father. And when I read that, it was this vision came to mind again, like I said, not like like you see in a movie or anything, but just in my mind, where I was in the bosom of the Father, in that fire, in the fire. And I was loving it. I didn't want to go anywhere, but right there in the bosom of the Father. And I felt the Lord say, that's my goal for you. That's my goal. That's his goal for all of us, to be in the bosom of the Father, just like Jesus is right now. Where it talks about overcoming in Revelation, where it says you'll be a pillar in his temple and no more go out. That being in the bosom of the Father, that's what comes to my mind, and being that pillar in the temple and no more going out. That's intimacy. That's knowing God, and that's him knowing us. Because we can't get there without him knowing us as well. So as we go through the the trials and the tribulations and the things that maybe get us down. Maybe we wonder what God doing, or does God even care, or whatever. Just remember. Just remember. He is head over heels with you, with me. Head over heels. He's skipping on the mountain of spices, as it says in Song of Songs. Why is he skipping on the spices? Because he likes spices? No, because he's in love with his bride. Looking forward to being with her. Looking forward to talking with her. That's Jesus toward us. And he wants us to know it. He wants us to know it, and he will give it to us. We just need to keep asking. And we just need to keep believing that God says, will do what he says, and that he will make his presence known to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, oh God, we do want to know you, Lord, but we want you to know us, Lord. And the only way that's going to happen is spending time with you, Lord. And there's many things that distract us from that. Many, many things that distract us from even hearing your words, your loving words to us, your wooing of us. Gets blocked by our nature. And it's we can't help it, Lord. You know that. But you're doing things out of your love for us, out of your zeal to have your bride, to be one with us, and to know us. You're doing things that may seem to us strange, that may seem to us painful. Well, not seem to us, but it is. Things that may confuse us. And all these things, these trials, these tribulations that we go through, Lord, that you're in total control of. Your goal is to be one with us, Lord, to know us, and for you to know. To know us and for us to know you. So, Lord, by your Spirit, remind us as we go through our day to day that you're right there with us, not looking at us with a scowl on your face, saying, "I wonder if he's going to mess up again today." But with that love that says, "Hey, let's talk about this. I like being with you. I like you. I want you to be with me forever. I want you with me so that wherever I go, you go." And he's looking at us with love, and he's looking at us saying, Hey, I'm here to help you. I'm here to bring you into that oneness that I prayed to the Father so many years ago. And praying even now. The oneness. The intimacy, the knowing you and you knowing me. So help us, Lord, to know, to see your love, to see the joy, as Peter says, count it all joy when these trials and these strange things come upon us. Count it all joy, the joy of knowing that we're going to be with you, Lord. You who love us. You, the Lord Jesus, who is ate up with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Remind us by your Spirit, Lord, of that. So we don't give up. So we keep persevering and we keep enduring to the end. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've got communion.